China.
For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rob. Triple M rocks football.
Oh, it's great to have your company. We are here at the Adelaide Oval and we are getting ready for the Cats and Port Adelaide Friday Night Football. The only look at it Port Adelaide have. We had David Koch on the rush hour, not particularly happy about that either. But they get a look at it tonight and it couldn't be better for football here in this beautiful city. This temperature's about 17, 18, no wind at all. And these two teams have nothing to complain about with the surface here at the beautiful Adelaide Oval. Blake Carousella is going to join us. Michael Voss is going to join us. And over in very salubrious fashion is the Triple M team. I see Gary Lyon, former superstar for Melbourne. Jason Dunstall, former superstar for Hawthorn, and the number one newsbreaker in the Caper. Damien Barrett's here as well. Chew Man, the Duke. You'll get your big team assembled, and it'll be a very nice call of this Friday night game. Hello to you, Gary.
Very nice to be here, Jimmy boy, and the crew are in fine form, let me tell you. Preparation's been thorough and exhaustive. Got here when you got here.
Yeah, you did.
Because you needed to be here for your commitments.
Yes.
So we went to a beautiful pub, what's it called?
The Bath Hotel.
The Bath.
Tony and
big
the beautiful
Tone.
Team.
Just rolled it out beautifully, yep. And I had a little nap.
I saw a photo evidence of a nap.
4:34, which Tone said was absolutely fine.
Yeah, no problem.
I just left these other two to their own.
Mine host is what Tone is. He will look after every single thing you need.
Very good.
So it's been good. Chew is here too, and he's
how's he nipped his way in?
Rolling around like he's Kanye West. That's how he thinks he is. But I know. And these two next to me are in good form.
They are. Chief going. Looked like he had the scent in his nostrils to me.
There's no question about it.
He's up, Jim.
You just had that look about you to me,
warmed
to
the task.
No, I'm very much looking forward to tonight's game. A lot of the Geelong players out in the ground as we speak. We don't know where either of these teams quite fits into the puzzle at the moment.
Australian Corporate Jet, we need to also thank, of course, Gary, because
very good.
If you get online and have a look at James Brayshaw, you'll see a couple of the nice snaps there. I don't even know what ours is.
At Triple M Footy, Jim, which is more important tonight.
A lot less Jim, people get involved.
That's
in
more
one.
Global and that's more trendy.
No wind
yet. A lot of feedback about the attire.
A lot of feedback about Gary's top.
One bit in particular.
You had a green cardigan on and it seems to have blown it up.
What was that,
blown
Gary?
What up?
The social media.
Social media.
Lots of comment on it.
Well, including the pilot, Jim, who
the pilot gave you a little clip.
Said it was a grandmother knit.
And very happy to take all that feedback from our wolf pack, who I think need guidance in this area. And I know Chief wouldn't be giving me any advice. That's an area that he wouldn't delve into.
But if you can turn this around to make it a fashion statement, you're doing very well.
But that's my point. I'll be wasting my breath.
Lots of stuff I received.
I think down the streets of New York, where it was purchased, very much didn't bat an eyelid.
New York.
Down the streets of
Soho, Gary, was it?
Bundura or Altona, like probably there. Would.
Op shop theme wolf was one of them.
I've read them all, Jim.
Is it Turtle you're playing with that green special? I did like it.
I've never needed vindication, Jim, but when I hear all these things, I am even more sure.
Even when it's the pack?
That's it, the pack.
Well, the pack have never, ever... made out that they are fashion gurus.
No, but they've never ever turned on you before either.
Wolf looks like a giant teapot.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, you know, you've got to have some strength of your convictions to wear green.
And Chief
the
pilot.
You can continue to go dark, which you Nipsies have, which is fine. But I enjoy them. Bring them and keep coming.
The pilot followed up, didn't you, Chief? It looks like a grandmother knit. It's one of those ones you're forced to wear.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
He said.
He owned you the pilot.
He said, I thought your grandmother had stopped knitting, didn't he?
Something like that. And then he followed up.
And then he said, it's one of those ones you're forced
to
wear.
He whacked it.
Touch of Shorten Smith.
Jim, would you wear it? Would you wear it?
No, well, I cannot. You have all done this. Well, Purple mightn't have, but you two have, and that is that you go and do your colour matching for your complexion. And green and yellow are the two colours I can never wear, apparently. Must never wear the wardrobe.
Explain to me the colour matching.
If you go to your wardrobe,
about,
in our business, when you're in television, you get colour matched. Never green, never yellow.
Guess?
Must admit, I've never been.
No, never in our business.
Well, then you two are a bit down below where I am by way of preparation.
Obviously, we are. You're
never green, never yellow, Chief.
You're
for
nowhere,
me, I don't know why, but that is very early.
Anyway, it was warm at 3 to 4 degrees.
Darker complexion,
when we left,
Gary.
And
so
very happy with it, and I'll get it out a little bit later for everyone. We might put another photo up.
That's it. Well, Bill got here late. Did you hear this?
We did.
Yeah,
I get here to do the rush hour.
I did.
Last time I checked, it starts at 3, and has done since its start.
He was here at lunchtime.
Well, I got here, and I'm like, where the hell are you, Fat? And he's walking around aimlessly around an empty stadium.
I'm letting him off the hook, Jim, because I've got the Nikons, and there is a Triple M, I can see it, over the other side of the ground, a Triple M studio there.
Mm.
And that's where he headed.
But, Gary.
That's where he was advised to head.
He knew that we were broadcasting out of the commentary box. So then he goes to the Riverbank Stadium, which is at the southern end of the ground. I said, Bill, when was the last time, and this is where I forgive him, because he does work with the reserves.
Yeah, he does.
I said, when was the last time a normal commentary box is found behind the goals at a footy oval? Mm. Normally they're on the wing. Where are we now, Fat?
That's
on the wing.
Normally
now, Jim, you were heard to say, and we did tune in when you were talking to him on the phone, waiting for him, to say, Bill, as you're making your way up here, take a look at the green stuff. That's where
it.
I dominated.
And I did.
That is
an absolute fact.
Jim, no question of that. Come on, Jim.
46, I think. Or 47 it might have been. But not only that.
Top score of 47.
But, Chief, as I said, the turnstiles didn't need oiling when Jim was at the crease. They just
Don't let him get away with this, right?
They just ploughed on through and enjoyed what they saw. Don't worry about that for a second.
It was the greatest road we've seen, apart from Belrive, Chief.
You were a draw card, Jim, is what you're saying.
No question of that. Attractive-looking player.
And, Jim, we also had the usual conversation when the plane, the little plane takes
Well,
up.
Gary
and
goes
Gary
there
always,
every time.
Well, you take us through it.
He goes there every time.
What?
He says, well, if this plane were to go down, we were all to not be with us anymore.
I have brought that up previously, but lasso of truth. Who brought it up today?
Well, the
Warrior.
And I want to know Chief's response to that question.
Well, I know. No,
what would be on the front page of the Herald Sun tomorrow?
I just said, the original question was, who'd get most column space if it went down?
And Chief said the front page would read?
Chief.
Say it, Chief.
I am not sure what you're talking about.
Chief.
I'll say it if you don't.
So you may as well.
Chief, say
go on.
Just say the way you said it.
What did you say,
Chief? I can't remember, Chief.
He said, without blinking or batting an eye, plane goes down and loses Hall of Fame champion, two pilots and five Nipsey.
They were his exact
words.
We've since changed that.
Yeah.
It's now Hall of Famer, champion player and 6 years.
So you've dropped the pilots in the Nipsey.
Jazz wanted to come with
solidarity,
you.
Solidarity in the back row.
We're getting a mention. Now they've just been
warrior
settled
against
into the
some
Nipsey.
Column space just under where the movies are. We just
and a bloke who averaged 46 in shield cricket.
No, here.
I wasn't as good as 46.
I was in the top 60.
You shouldn't laugh about that stuff. Anyway, why'd you bring that up?
You talk about every time the plane takes off.
Well, in-house I do.
Makes for good conversation.
In-house.
Now, here we are.
Big game.
It is a big game. Both 5 and 5, as Chief said, you're not quite sure with either. Maybe you're a little bit more sure with Port Adelaide. Would that be fair?
Haven't been in good nick.
No, I'm not sure about them.
Well, if they win tonight, that's 3 in a row.
Yeah, but I must admit, I saw the game where, in my mind, things turned around.
Melbourne?
Against Melbourne. 4 goals up, Melbourne, second quarter. There's a turnover, and I'll highlight this one day if Port Adelaide go on and are successful. I'll highlight the very moment. Well, I don't know who Kiwi kicked it, but Brad Ebert marked it.
That's okay. How can you not know who turned it over? That's the more important
thing. I remember the turnover. I don't specifically remember who kicked it.
There's no
the Melbourne bloke.
No,
you must remember
that. I'll go back and find it. But it was Brad Ebert. Brad Ebert marked it. And now, had that hit its target, that could have been 32 points to margin Melbourne all over.
Game over.
Ebert took it, went the other way. I think they kicked 17 goals.
Game over.
And from then on, I looked at it and thought to myself, that could be the turning point.
32 points up, game over, Chief.
Yep, could have been.
Well, it could have been.
What? No doubt it could have been.
Very rare that Melbourne get 32 points up.
That is true too.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so from then they came out, and the next week they beat. Come on, Warrior, who'd they beat next week?
You tell the story, Gary. About
well,
the
they beat the Western Bulldogs.
Season,
they beat the Western Bulldogs last week, which was a pretty good effort. Yeah. I mean, I rate the Bulldogs. I think they've
that
come
was
along.
Here again.
That was here. Although Trav Boak wasn't happy with it, you see, and give them a cook after the game
out
on the ground.
Which is good.
Warriors still trying to find the game in between.
Well, but prior to the season,
I'm taking you out for lunch prior to the game.
Yes. Prior to the season starting, I think like most people, you tell me if you're not one of them, had Port in your top four.
Right, I did.
Ready to go, ready to challenge. They're a fair way off it at the moment. We don't know where they fit in.
No, well, that's the only game since that Melbourne game, the Western Bulldogs. So, yeah, so their form up until that stage has been a bit scratchy. This will bring the best out of them because I guess it's very good competition. And we saw the Cats last week against very poor, has to be said, Essendon, who struggled to score at all. But their form line through that was pretty good. They get Stanley back into the side, which gives them a little bit more depth through that rucking position. And, you know, some of their older fellas started. And we haven't seen Tommy Hawkins absolutely slip it yet. I mean, he's just sort of been getting through and going through his stuff. So if he can get on the end of a couple, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's an even way, each way, 50-50.
The other issue here is that they have been very hard to beat traditionally at this ground. And not that they've played here for that long, Port Adelaide. But they haven't been this year.
Not an issue this year, is it, Jim?
And, well, and that's a concern for all the interstate teams. As soon as they don't start winning their home games, they get themselves into trouble because obviously they've got to travel every second week. It's just a fact of being based where they are.
Look, I get the feeling Port Adelaide's a bit confused as to where they are. I mean, I think when they finished last year, when they fell so short, like so short of a grand final, they bring Ryder in, whether it was complacency or just being comfortable with where they're at, they thought that that was going to be the missing link, and that was the way they dealt with the trade period, got him in, natural improvement, same fitness. It hasn't worked. Now, whether they can still turn it around from here. The season has still got a lot to play out with it at this same stage. So they can still do something on this season. But you're right, the home ground advantage has been lost to this point.
So, Chief, have the other teams, after they watched Port Adelaide get within a kick of your mobs, have they gone to work on them? Have they worked them out to the point where they can't transition the footy the way they were last year in such devastating fashion? Why is it that they're not as effective as they were in 2014?
Well, I'm sure teams are more familiar with the game style now. And there's no doubt that once you work out what a team's doing, you're better equipped to combat them. And a lot of teams have done a lot of work on them. But they are nowhere near the levels they were at last year. Port Adelaide's level of effort, their work rate, both offensive and defensively, is not anywhere near where they were last year. And for that reason, they don't have that aura about them. You know, everyone thought, oh, geez, if they're anywhere near you at three-quarter time, they'll run over the top of you. But nothing to do with it this year. Absolutely nothing to do with it.
Absolutely have denied them, teams have denied them the centre of the ground, the corridor of the ground, which is they've been good enough to take on in over the past couple of years with run and carry, with a handball that you don't think they're going to give, but they back themselves in to do it. Absolutely have clogged up that centre part of the ground, which meant they've been really slow out of the back half. Now, that came back, now obviously, after that Melbourne, when they started to get their game going, it just the floodgates opened. Now, whether or not that was the live kill they needed as a sort of a reinforcement of the beliefs that had them so successful last year, the game against the Western Bulldogs was an arm wrestle and it was hard work. The Bulldogs play that sort of footy as well, although they like to get a lot of forward pressure on. You know, if they're able to get through there and win by 40 points, I think it's not a bad result. But they will endeavour to try to stop them going through the middle of the ground, and it's worked early.
All right, who can chip off? We're going to hear from the Chief, and I think he might be in rare form
tonight. Yeah, I've got
something
here too. The colour palette that you mentioned, Jim, that you are no good with green.
And yellow, apparently.
And maybe that's why he didn't play for Australia, the pack reckon, Jimmy boy. No green and yellow. This is Jack Genjimi. Is that why he never played for Australia?
Hard to deny that,
good
Gary.
Call.
Hard to deny. Not even I can fight my way out of that.
Peter Lawson, Lone Wolf style, gets a tick. That's why he's the wolf. You unfashionable followers in the box need his guidance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them coming in.
Hey, Purple, Essendon. Continue to be a big story. We're now hearing about Carlisle staying, going. We're hearing about Bell Chambers coming out of the side after being opened up last week by a bloke who normally plays as a third forward.
Yeah.
Then James Hurd becomes part of this story as well. So what's going on with this, you know, amazing club and story?
Yeah, and now playing West Coast against Nick Natanui, who is in the best form of his career, and they're taking out Bell Chambers. Carlisle then takes the main rucking position. There's doubts over Carlisle. James Hurd today has actually stated, Jim, that he's confident that Carlisle will stay. But that is not... He can't say that with any conviction because it is a doubt. Clubs have come for Carlisle now for 2 years in a row. And he is... I won't say he's disgruntled, but he's certainly considering his future. And it is something that James Hurd cannot be confident about the outcome of. So that's one issue. You park it to the side. You look at the second quarter of last week against Geelong and it was... It was disgraceful. And if there's any more repeat performances of that in any type in the next 2 to 3 weeks, James Hurd's position will obviously be under more scrutiny than it already is. And they've got a very, very crucial period of time coming up.
So, Gaz, is it a damn wall-breaking situation with Essendon? Have they hung for so long, so tough and incredibly, given everything they've had to deal with? I didn't see the game with Geelong last week, but is it one of those things where it's finally caught up with them?
Well, it looked like it was too hard in the end for them. But, I mean, that game, when you watched it, was as much... In the end, it was all about effort, and that's why the questions are being raised about where they're at and whether it's taken its toll. And I can't see how it wouldn't. That would be my initial answer. But some of the fundamentals in the first half of that game were... They had as many inside 50s, they had as much as a ball, they had legitimate opportunities to go ahead in that game. Joey Danaher was missing him from everywhere, they couldn't hit the scoreboard. They had ball coming through the middle. There was nothing wrong with the style of play when they had footy coming through the middle of the ground that they shared amongst themselves in the manner of the good sides, got free, and then, and Matthew Lloyd showed us on Sunday, this disconnect between the ball, the guys with the ball in hand and the forwards was abysmal. Now, back in the day, and this is, you know, and Chief would tell you this, I mean, that relationship you have with, well, in Chief's case, with whether it was Darren Jarman or whoever, Pritchard coming out, Ben Allen. you were so in tune with each other that you just knew where he was going to hit up at the footy or whether there was a space there, you could put it there. These blokes were charging through the middle with no pressure, and you had blokes running backwards, blokes running sidewards, no one hitting up at the footy. So it was as much about structural setup and systems, particularly early when you wanted to hit the scoreboard. And as soon as that sort of dissipated, the effort went as well. And then they got opened up.
Guys, you analyse these things very, very closely. Has Carlisle sooked it up in terms of what he's been asked to do?
Well, not a court. Well, who do you listen to? From what you see, you know, he doesn't look like he's a natural forward. I mean, I've said that all along.
You have.
And that's part of it. I mean,
but he's got ability in that space if he's on song, though, hasn't he? I mean, Mark Thompson really worked with him in that
space.
So
I don't know if he's hooking up. James Hurd says he does it. He says that James Hurd was quoted as saying, in the last 24 hours, Jake Carlisle came to me and said, I want to be one of the great forwards. Help me to be that. Now, that's James Hurd saying. So if you believe what James Hurd, I've got no reason not to believe James. Doesn't sound like a man who's sooking about playing in the forward line.
It's very interesting. I read those comments as well with great interest, Gaz. And that was after we'd read comments during the week where they had a meeting at Crown with Jake Carlisle and some of the coaches to discuss his future and all those sorts of things. So then all this talk about, no, I want to play forward and I want to be a good forward. Help me be a good forward. Where's he playing on the weekend?
Ruck. That's as much about
Tom Belchambers.
Well, that's as much about Tom Belchambers as anything. And
but they're not in a position to muck around with Carlisle, given the tenuous position he has at the moment and his struggle with form. You can't muck around with him.
No,
you're trying to get something out of him. So it's okay to say, well, maybe he's actually a very good ruckman. That's fine. But don't sit there and say, I want to be a ruckman. Yeah. I want to be a forward and make me a good forward and then play him in the ruck.
No, that's an absolutely a legitimate point. Now, they said he had 22 hit-outs or 26 hit-outs after when he went to the ruck against Geelong. Don't hang out on that. As Jim rightfully pointed out, he's rucking against Walker and Blitzars,
who'd rather not play ruck. Play.
So maybe it's a short-termer, maybe to try and get him back into some form, Chief, to get some confidence back into him, I don't know.
Chief, that question you just posed, though, is that maybe James Hurd, for the first time at least in this incarnation of him as coach, actually putting his foot down and making decisions that are tough on the players, because he has mollycoddled them to a point to keep them onside with this whole WADA saga. Is it now time for him, and is he now illustrating that decision to actually be tough on his players, dropping Belchambers and making Carlisle play a position he doesn't want to play?
I got no problem with making tough decisions, and James at different stages will have to do that. But at the end of the day, the Essendon Football Club has to find a way to get maximum value out of Jake Carlisle. Now, how do you do that? Does that mean he goes back, down back, and then you sacrifice Hurley, who's become a very consistent backman? I wouldn't think that's the way to go.
The back six is going pretty well.
Does that mean you persist with him forward and it continues not to work? Does that mean you play him as a makeshift ruckman, which might work some weeks, but what happens when you come up against the Sandlands and some of the, you know, a Mumford and a Goldstein and these sort of blokes? Or does it mean you actually put him on the trade table and say the best value we can get for the club is to get a first-round draft pick for him?
Yeah, well, maybe they're trying to make that decision. There's a bloke called Stephen Martin who's running around up in Brisbane who at various stages might be the best ruckman in the competition. had fleeting looks at it at Melbourne, and as a supporter, I watched it. I never, ever saw that ability in him. Now, obviously, I'm not down there at the club, and what his athletic ability was profound, but his footy sort of knowledge. Now, they just threw him in the ruck because they had no choice in the end. Leuenberger went down, and whoever else they had ruckman. And he flourished. Now, maybe they're going to go to Jake Carr. Let's play him there for 3 weeks.
Well, Reece Stanley, not quite as flourishing, but still has improved enormously.
So maybe they're
going to
achieve
responsibility.
Exactly. In answer to your question, they're going to go, right, let's get all the information and then make a decision. Yep, we know he can ruck, or no, we don't know. We know he can't ruck. Yes, we know he can play back because he's in an All-Australian form last year. He can play forward at times, but to me, from an observer's point of view, he's not a natural forward, which can contribute to this disconnect that we saw last week. Get all that information, and then they might say, yeah, let's chuck him on the trade table.
Gaz, the Essendon fans last week, the thing that would have alarmed them is that they were horribly split down the middle by a team that are 4-5. Now, you can get horribly split down the middle by Sydney or by Hawthorn or by Freo, and you drive away and you go, well, no one's happy with that, but geez, the other mob are electric. But Geelong, at that stage, were 4-5 and had shown none of that. No. So that's got to be concerning.
Well, particularly when probably 10 minutes into the second quarter, it was 19-6. That was a score. And as I said, Essendon had probably more opportunity to score. So it fell very, very quickly. So maybe... And who could deny this happening? Maybe it just all fallen on top of them now and they've gone too hard. Maybe it has.
It'll be interesting. You always talk about the response. It'll have to be good over there in Perth.
Damo talks about the next 2 or 3 weeks. They got West Coast, of course, over there. That is... It's not about the win. That's all I'm saying. It's got nothing to do with the win.
Digging in.
I don't think they'll win. Yep. It's about how they play.
They've got the bye in round 12 and then... In round 13, they come out with a game against Hawthorn on a Saturday night, which is going to really shape where they're going to be going.
6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, they beat them.
They beat them, yep.
The big Duke, I think, might be strapped in now to get his night underway. Hello to you, Duke.
Hello, Jim. Good to be here. Nice and early.
Wow.
You wanted
a piece of ship off.
I'm just keen to hear Chief at his best. Tell you what, I missed the flight because I had to stay back in Adelaide, but... The cardigan the Wolf went with is just out of this world, just horrendous.
You let yourself down in horrible fashion. Further confirmation I'm on the right track.
As well as ones where you think you've got it right, but you just haven't.
Let's be brutally honest, Jim. Duke's here early because of the events of last week.
That's true.
He turned up late and he got strafed. He didn't want that to happen.
He took my medicine last week.
Not well.
Most people in this box do, from what I can...
While we're on that subject...
Here we go.
So, yes, just relax.
He's standing up to say this.
Don't get so...
I'm
not apprehensive at all, mate. I just know you don't take feedback well.
Our flight today was due to take off at 11:45. And strict instructions, because there are procedures to get through to be there at 11:30.
Absolutely.
Absolute strict instructions. Yep. So,
I was there on time.
I understand.
No, you weren't.
Getting to Moorabbin Airport is a logistical nightmare. I understand that. So I Google mapped, make sure. I saw the red lights everywhere, got myself around, bang, bang, 11:20, there I am.
About when I lobbed.
11:22, Chew Man. In behind me. There's the two of us. In we go. We sit there. 11:29. Hello. Chief here. I'm stuck on the Warragul Road. I won't be there. I'm running very late. I've got to get off this. I said, is that right, Chief? I'll let Duke know.
This is the man who spent the first 15 minutes of the Friday Rub last week just tearing me a new one.
You're copping a double bird as we speak.
Held the plane
up. Hypocritical.
Then Big Nose and Warrior. I'm just running a bit late, so they got the 11:32.
Yep. So they late. Weren't late.
Then they were all ready to go, and then we're
you weren't all ready to go.
Illustrious leader.
what time did you roll
11:45. 11:45. That was the call time, and that was when
11:50 he rolled up, Duke.
So the on-air apologies my way.
Exactly
Duke.
Right.
Duke. Just whenever you're ready, Duke.
Not only was I on time, Duke. Not my fault time. That I was so close to not being on time. Duke. It was Fat Brownless. Oh, I had to round up for that.
That's not true.
Then I had to round him up for my own show today because he was late.
The dog ate my homework.
Punctuality. Punctuality is everything.
Then Chief rolled in whenever he
wanted. Punctuality is a virtue.
From where I'm looking at right now, you're all failed except for Chief. Chua and I.
I agree.
You can chip off, Jed.
I hate not being punctual. I hate people that aren't punctual, Gaz, and I'm the first.
I accept your apology.
And I felt guilty. I don't like it because I hate it when people aren't punctual.
Well, good.
Well, don't do it again.
But I was only 60 seconds after Brayshaw and Brown.
Don't do it again. I was there on time.
No, you weren't.
Now, well, I think we get the sting first, and then we hear a nice version of ship off. So let's go.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off.
Righto, Chieftain.
All right, Jim.
I'm not in it tonight, which is good.
I don't run too early with that. I do watch a lot of sport when I'm at home. I have a love of a great diversity of sports.
You do.
And the other night I was watching the under-20 rugby world championships.
Oh, jeez.
Well, see, you've got to understand that I grew up in a private school in Queensland. Right. I played rugby.
It's
right?
A good
rugby
game,
union.
Rugby chief. I'm
so
on board.
Australia are over there in Parma in Italy battling out their best, and they'd won their first couple of pool matches against Italy and Samoa. And they then came up against the might of South Africa, who are one of the top seeds.
Right.
It was a tough game, Jim. Yeah. It was a tough game. And South Africa are a touch too big.
Right.
A touch too strong. A touch too tough.
Yes.
And they won 46-13.
Yes.
Now, if Australia were able to score a couple of tries, they would have got a bonus point and got themselves into the final stage. Mm-hmm. That wasn't to be. So I need to ship off South Africa for being too good. Because I really felt for the Australian team. They got brutalised, Jim. They got treated like biatches. They did. They got spanked. They got smashed.
Gone
they got
to the rugby
unceremoniously dumped out of it.
I like it, Chief. I like it.
Ship off South Africa.
Rugby's not giving enough
love. Want to go up from here.
They were too big. They were too big, too strong.
He's easing into it. He's not shooting.
I don't know if you've read the latest edition of Boris Becker's autobiography.
No, I haven't.
He goes into great depth talking about himself, as he does. And then he talks about the feud between Novak Djokovic, the number one player in the world, and the current number two in the world, Roger Federer, who apparently don't get on for reasons that have transpired in recent years. And he actually is quoted as saying, Fed cannot possibly be as nice as he seems. He goes on to say, Jim, the reason Roger is one of the highest paid athletes of all time is because he's liked by everyone.
Yes, he is.
But would he make less if we saw a bit more of his true feelings? Mm. And the way I rationalised all of that, I thought, well, maybe if Boris worried a little less about gobbing off in his book and paid more attention to coaching Novak Djokovic, Djokovic might not have got wiped off the court in the French Open final by Stanislas Wawrinka. So, Boris, ship off!
Jeez, good. Very lateral.
I thought you might have been heading into the broom cupboard
that's
there.
What I
No.
We were hoping you were going there, Chief.
I don't know if anyone's... I think you are, Warrior. We're a man called Colin Coward.
Oh, I know him.
One of the top sports journos in the US.
Right. Basketball.
Massive.
Yep.
Has something
very
like
opinionated.
Has something like a million followers on social media.
Very good on ESPN Radio.
Well, he entered into the social media fray when the NBA Finals began between the Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. And he said, Matt Dellavedova.
Yes.
This may seem a tad harsh. Could be the worst player ever in a finals to get major minutes.
No. Colin.
Now, given what Dellavedova has since done over the first four games, I think Colin Coward can have a right royal. You are a massive flog and just ship the fruit off.
Ship the fruit off.
Well, I wanted to say something.
I know
else.
What you wanted to say.
I'm not sure if he's on the dump button, so I said. Ship off, Colin.
Yep.
This is an interesting one. And this pains me to do this one, to be brutally honest. I was reading during the week. A very good friend of ours here at Triple M Football.
Yes.
Campbell Brown is doing a wonderful thing.
Yes.
He's swimming the English Channel.
He is.
So he has to go from 85 kegs to 100. He's currently put on about 9 kilos or so. He's got himself to 94.
Yep.
And he was quoted as saying, I'm not liking what I see in the mirror.
Mm.
Let's be honest, Jim. At no stage has Campbell ever liked what he saw. Oh! When you are a hairy midget Ewok, Jim, you have no right to ever like what you see in the mirror. Now, if that's not bad enough, if it's not bad enough to be a hairy midget Ewok, he then goes on to say, well, it's a 15-hour swim. As long as I put one arm in front of the other, I'll get there eventually. For stating the bleeding obvious... Mm. And for being the hairiest, shortest, midgetest Ewok ever, Campbell Brown gets the biggest ship off of the year. Brownie, ship, ship, and keep shipping. Chip.
So, Chief,
Chip,
we got to the end without me being included, which
Chip.
I like.
Chip.
Because
Jim,
I get the feeling you wanted to put me in, but you just couldn't find room.
I desperately wanted
to
put you in, but...
But, Chief, you know I'm a legend.
It was a global sports rap early.
It was. You went... You
under 20 rugby.
Under 20 rugby union.
Under 20 rugby was controversial
you're
for
a tool
while.
Bag, Jim. I want to get you in there.
went for quite a while.
I could have put Wolf in for his jacket, but...
Bring it out, please. I need to give that to the Duke to have another look at
it. I thought, you want to give him a live look.
I thought he was fashion forward, Duke.
Have you ever done a colour palette, Duke?
Ever done a colour palette?
Yeah,
a
like assessment
Jim
of what colours
your wardrobe
are best suited to you. Jim's so, done a colour palette.
With the television work, your wardrobe?
Never heard of a colour
palette. Well, we haven't either, but Jim's done one.
Really?
And green Jim and yellow don't suit Jim's complexion. Yeah.
Apparently, Jim said it's only done by good-looking people. Yeah.
Maybe you don't do it either, Duke. But I'm telling you now, once you do it, you'll be aware of what you should and should never wear.
And you... Suggesting the light green cardigan is something
that the wolf
that,
has a darker complexion,
be
so maybe you can run with a green. I certainly can't.
No, I haven't done the colour palette, but if I did, I'm pretty sure they would say that green and lime green, or whatever colour it is, works.
Well, I did have one Nipsey Duke on social media.
Hang on a minute. Don't spill anything on it.
This is one of those ones that you spend six or probably
eight
plus.
And
it's a one-wear job. You get it out and you go, I reckon I'll shoot the lights out with this one. And then you put it on and you go, ooh, no, hang on a minute.
Look,
mate,
when I pulled it out of the cupboard, I realised where I was going today. You know, I realised it's the only one of 2 days where I throw myself at the feet of social media.
At
I knew
Triple
what I was
M40,
doing.
You'll see a shot of it if you're wondering.
I was very
what
happy to wear it because
it's a one-wear job.
As Deb Cameron, Deb Cannon says,
well, she's the vice president.
Very fashion forward, and the rest will catch up eventually.
I thought it was courageous.
And guys,
it's courageous.
I thought it was courageous.
There's no doubting the courage.
Thank you.
Hey, Duke,
I didn't want to say this on air, but you actually do pull that off.
He
does.
He
does. Admit it.
Hang on a minute.
Admit it.
Walker, look at him. At what stage
he's got
do
the
you
swagger.
Get your tongue out of Wolf's date? Seriously.
I knew
can
we're worrying camera.
Is there a point where...
Are you collecting all the dags on the tip of your tongue, Walker? Seriously. It is wedged that far up his shooter. It's ridiculous.
Did he just say that's quite fetching on you, Wolf?
Yeah.
He pulls it off.
There is a
he carries
you
it
get
off.
To, Damien, where you just have to,
no.
and, you have to have some self-awareness.
Don't turn around, Jim.
Walshy.
Me and Walshy.
At the airport.
Come on, Walshy. Fashion forward.
It's the sort of thing Walshy would wear, actually.
Look, Walshy's rolling with
a Hawaiian shirt.
Imagine that shirt under that jacket.
Go and see Walshy.
Duke, it's sort of your Starsky and Hutch 70s style.
That's it.
That's the best way to describe the styling.
Quite fetching, says the Warrior.
Hey, Warrior.
I've never said fetching. I said he pulls the look off.
If I'm rating him in the box, Warrior, you're second at the moment.
I'd be certainly pulling something off, Walker.
me or Gats? Yeah.
You know what? I reckon he had his real swagger up until Damo jumped on board. Now he's, right. Now he's really second guessing.
Have
a look at him.
No, Warriors, he's on. He catches up. He's slow, but he gets it.
And we bring Chua to these trips only if we go by private plane because that's the only way we can fit him in, otherwise we'll leave him home.
Yeah, and he sits on the toilet as a rule, Jim.
He does.
And that's fair enough. I've had the Nikons on him.
What's he doing?
We've sent him over to interview one of the up-and-coming, maybe one of the real candidates for the next senior coaching job. I've been watching him boring the bejesus out of him during the ad break, so I hope he's saving his very best stuff for his first question.
Well, who's he interviewing? Gary over there?
Well, the assistant coach, one of the assistant coaches at the Geelong Footy Club and a premiership star himself, Blake Carosella, who's a very wise and smart football man who won't tolerate a poor first question from Chua. Chua, down to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gary. Blake, massive game tonight. Both teams sitting just outside of the eight. Just before, I noticed on the turf you're having a quiet chat to Corey Gregson and Reece Stanley. You must be pleased with the emerging talent that's starting to shine through this year.
Yes, yeah, we certainly are. Gregson, Lang, those types of players, absolutely marvellous. It's a fantastic story. But, I was talking to Gregors. Matty Loken, who used to play for Collingwood, is the coach of the Glenelg Footy Club now. And he was, helped Gregors come through the underage teams and, had a good chat.
Blake, would you expect the boundary rider to go with a young talent question first up, or would you thought that might have been sixth or seventh in line?
Well, I'm not sure about the question, but he's got this jacket, this kind of vest thing on at the moment. But I'm not sure that, obviously, the listeners can't see that. But I've heard that you're wearing a nice top as well.
Oh, you worded up Blake too, Chua,
have
you?
I like it.
Nice work.
Hey,
nice Blake.
Blake, the Cats are 5-5, and no one's quite sure where they fit into the picture, mate. You've been there the last few years. You've seen what they're capable of. Are they on the march, or are they just sort of fighting to be in the mix?
Yeah, we're certainly improving. I think at the start of the season, we were playing some fairly poor football against some of the better teams in Fremantle and Hawthorn. We got close to Sydney but lost to them. So I guess the last couple of seasons, especially the finals last year, we just weren't quite good enough. And so far this year, it's been the same story as well. So but I think certainly over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've had some real improvements, and hopefully we can go again tonight.
Hey, Blake, nice four-goal bag for Stevie J last week, and he looked like he was enjoying roaming a bit closer to goal again. Where will we see him tonight? Maybe more of the same?
Yeah, he'll be playing forward, and it really depends on how the game's going. He's got the capability to go and play in the midfield. He's played a lot of his career through the midfield as well, so hopefully we don't need him in the midfield, but Port Adelaide has some fantastic players through there, so it'd be great if he could kick 4 more goals tonight.
What about Tommy Hawkins? Blake, he's had a couple little injury niggles and missed a game here and there, and of course the very tragic passing of his mum. Is he ready to hit his very best?
Yeah, I think last week he probably had a down game, but still kicked 4 goals. Yep. At the same time, Hooker's a fantastic player. So, tonight he'll probably get Carl, I'll suggest. Hopefully he can hit up, take a few marks, kick some goals.
Just with the so many guys over the age of 30, Blake, and I know this is not a question you need to answer tonight, but how are you advising those players to approach this year? Are you saying give it all with the possibility that's it? Or are you saying, give it all with the possibility you keep going on? How have you dealt with those guys?
Oh, personally, my career finished quite quickly, and you never know when your last game is. So whether you're 21 or 30, you should be playing each game in each season as though it's your last game or last season. So those guys have been around for a long time and played some fantastic football, and they're really experienced, and I'm sure not they're thinking too far ahead.
Hey, so Blake, Gaz in the intro quite rightly said you were one of the real emerging coaches in the game. Have you formalised that in your own mind, that's the path you want to go down? Are you seriously considering the path of being a senior coach?
Yeah, I am. I've been coaching for 8 or 9 years now, and being a part of the Level 4 coaching course, I really do enjoy coaching. I like a lot of the aspects of coaching, especially the development and the strategy. There's parts of the job that we all don't like, but if you do want to be a senior coach, you have to do it all. So, I reckon over the near future, I'll certainly put my hand up to have a go at a job.
Mitch Clark out again tonight, Blake. Is it just going to be one more week out and then back in the next game, or is it a little bit longer than that in your eyes?
It's hard to say. He's got a slight injury to his leg. I'm not totally across what the injury is or how long it is, or it's going to take him to get back fully fit. But we've got the bye in 2 weeks' time, so Melbourne next week and then the bye, and so that's 3 weeks away. So we won't know until then.
Hey, Blake, have you got too many big blokes on the list? I mean, you've got Reece Stanley's come into the lineup and he's doing a fantastic job in the ruck. We know Blitzhalves can play just about anywhere. Clark can go in and give a chop out in the ruck. But you've got Dawson Simpson, you've got Hamish McIntosh, you've also got Vardy to come back from injury. It just seems that there's no spots for them.
Yeah, we've certainly got a lot of big guys, but at the moment we need them all because we haven't got any ruckmen. We're down to our last two. So, we'd like to be a bit more resilient with our ruckmen. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, we've had knees and shoulders and all types of injuries. So, it's at the same time, Josh Walker played last week and was fantastic for a whole game, and he'll get a chance tonight along with potentially Mark Whitsub as well.
So if all the big blokes are fit, who are the incumbent ruckmen in the team?
That's a very good question. I think Scotty would say they're all in our best team. it is very hard to say. It might depend on who you're coming up against as well.
Hey, Blake, we'll let you get out of the music. It's pretty heavy. Good luck tonight.
Have a good call, guys.
Blake, with the two-man down there. Where's Tua?
Had a statement first question, I thought.
Yeah, he went long.
I liked it.
There were a couple of statements made before a question came out.
And he worded him up about the Wolves.
I like to go back to Tua after he asked the question. And then I like to see, because I want him to give an analysis on his own performance before we critique him.
He'll be over there.
I've got the Nikons on him. I can see him in his muscle shirt. How do you think you went?
I reckon that was probably one of my better performances. Firstly, I didn't have to say his name, so I didn't butcher that like I did with Scott Pendlebury a few years ago.
Yes.
But no, I think he warmed to the question, I reckon, Gary.
Well, he did, but I mean, sort of, it was an out of the bluey. He didn't set it up with anything, he just went whack.
No, I'm saving my best for the next interview. This could end my media career, and that's
we'll
Michael
be the judge of that.
See, yeah, I know you will. True, the other thing I'd say is you went with 5 and 5 each team.
Yes.
So you sort of grabbed something that maybe Gaz or the Chief might have wanted to use in their own question and statemented it before you then went a totally different way with a Gregson question.
True.
I was panicking as you can tell. Had to come up with something line and length. Still on my hours with this interviewing gig, as you know.
What about the timbre in your voice? I mean, some of the pack think you got to hold your pills when you're doing this. So that's certainly what Spud says to you when you're doing this. You got to have some real authority in you. Next time when you see Vossi, say, now, Michael, bang, away you go with a bit of authority.
Chew, don't listen. I liked it.
Dame, you're a good man. I appreciate that. Well, I'm going to prepare my line of questioning. I've got about 10 on the list for Michael Voss. So.
There are a few more intimidating presences in the game of AFL football than Michael Voss, so you better be ready to go.
Go with a cardigan joke again, Chew. There'll be a real problem.
Thanks for the support, guys.
Thanks for the support. All right. Just spoken to Blake Carousella, and now the great Michael Voss. He's getting ready to be interviewed on Triple M, of course, a big part of the coaching panel here at Port Adelaide. We've sent Chua over there.
I can see Chua. He is literally shaking. Vossi's walked out. He's all business. He's not far away from the game starting, and he's been confronted by this small wee man in a funny cut-off jacket, and he's not all that impressed,
well,
I don't
Gary,
think.
Because Vossi's at the absolute sharpest end of what we're about in this caper. Three premierships as a captain. One of the greatest players the game's ever seen.
Well, Chua's going to hit him with some Dorothy Dixer first.
Well, therefore,
first up.
Chua better get it right. Otherwise, Vossi will give him some straight-ahead feedback. All right, let's get down now to Port Adelaide's, as I say, fine assistant coach, Michael Voss. Chua, take it away.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks, JB. Got the great man here with me. Vossi, you've won your last two games by healthy margins. What's pleased you the most on field over the past couple of weeks?
And that's the question. Have you got another
question? I don't believe it.
We'll see you at your end.
I've come here last two games, and we've finished off the games. That's the question. Have you got a better one?
I've got a statistical one, but that might bore the crap out of our listeners, and we might put them to sleep, Vossi. That's actually my trade, so I'm just a fill-in tonight, by the way.
He's got jumped in the life, folks.
But anyway, any positives you can take over the past 2 weeks, Vossi?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll roll with that one. We've finished off games really strong. So certainly early part of the season, we're probably playing in little bits and pieces and not stringing games together. So I think the last couple of weeks started a little bit at the end of or during the second quarter in Melbourne, and we've been able to carry that momentum since.
Hey, Vossi, how far are you off the form that took you to a prelim final last year, nearly a grand final?
Oh, I'd like to say not far off it, but I think we've still got a fair bit of work to do. First of all, we probably haven't brought that four-quarter performance where I guess we look at all those little intricate things and we can do the players' heads in about, being disciplined right to the finish and playing our roles. And so we break that down to an inch of its life. And I think we're sort of a little way away from that. But certainly what we are bringing is much better pressure and much better intensity around the footy. And that's giving us a real good chance.
Vossi, you played most of your great years under Lee Matthews. Can you compare the way Ken Hinckley goes about it? Or are you adjusting your own style a bit under this regime with the way Ken coaches?
Oh, no, it's somewhat different, as you expect most coaches to be. But in some ways, if there is some similarity, I think we sort of prided ourselves on being able to play that genuine power, high-speed type of football. And we play at a certain intensity for a longer period of time. We try and test the opposition to go all the distance. And I think if there's one real common characteristics is that's what's expected here.
Hey, Vossi, you've watched so much footy, you've played with so many great players, you've coached, you've done it all. You sat back and you would have watched Ollie Wines play footy with Port Adelaide, and I guess for a lot of us, I certainly see a lot of Michael Voss in the way he goes about it. Now, his period out of the game with the thumb or the hand or the wrist or whichever it was coincided with the down period. He's come back in, he's had three very good games, and the graph's going back up. No coincidence?
Oh, well, there'd be some coincidence because he balances it out. He's certainly a bit better quality than that green number you had on today.
There it is. Ultimate clip.
Listen to me, young man.
Ultimate clip.
Worked into an answer. Quickly. He's going through the whole industry this year.
Sorry, I've got to stop that. But no, he's certainly a powerhouse. And Yeah, when you sort of look at your young man and you do some stoppage work with him and then he throws his back at you and you just think, how do I get around this? I'm not going to get a look at the football. And that's his real genuine strength, his contested nature. And, you know, any midfield will tell you that we need a balance of those inside players as well as the guys on the outside. And that's probably what we've missed.
Michael, similar question to Gary in terms of what you've seen in footy. You've seen a lot of great leaders throughout your time. Travis Boak grabbed the team last week after a good win, yet still grabbed them in the, at the centre of the ground and really addressed them to say it wasn't quite good enough. How do you rate his leadership?
Oh, he's highest class. I think sometimes, you know, you always get asked, is there anyone that surprises you about, you know, from afar to now working with him? And, you know, I always thought Boakey was a good leader, but I'm even more impressed having now worked with him. And he's got a really, really high standard for the group and expects us to be able to make sure that we can achieve that on a consistent basis. And that's what he was challenging the guys on, and that's what we want to emulate. But, yeah, I'd certainly put him in the upper class when it comes to skippers.
Bossy, you beat Hawthorn earlier in the year. You've played Sydney. You've played Frio. Who do you think is the standard bearer this early in the season? Who's the team to beat?
Well, it's a good question. In terms of what we've faced, you know, we played Fremantle in the first round and enormously difficult to win over there any time, and they're obviously only just starting. So you don't really fully appreciate until the season gets underway. But that was certainly would have been a nice one to get away with. But the hardest one we've had, without doubt, has been Sydney.
Yeah.
They've been, you know, particularly tough in the way that they just denied us the inside 50. And even though they conceded a lot of inside 50s, they just kept holding and holding and holding, and their intensity around the footy was first class. So, yeah, they'll all be there in the mix as we expect them to be. If we're good enough, well, we've got to beat those sides.
Hey, Vossi, life in Adelaide, it's a big move when you're a professional coach to uproot the family and spend some time here. How's that going? And is the desire there to get back into a main role again at some stage?
Oh, maybe at some stage, but it's certainly a long-term vision. I'm really enjoying the fact that we're at Adelaide. My family has just settled in, and they're in school, and that's our priority at the moment. They're in year 10, my oldest two, and you know, we really want to see out that in terms of their schooling. So that becomes priority number one. What happens after that? Well, it's a little bit wait and see.
And Vossi, you're in Chad Corns' place, I understand. Is that just a temporary measure?
Yes, it is. Well, it depends whether he comes back or not. Depends on how temporary it actually is. But no, he's got a nice little pad down there in Glenelg, and it's not far from the beach, so it's a nice little spot, and he's a fairly good landlord.
Oh, crumbs, Jim. I wouldn't open every cupboard.
Just making sure no one's knocking on the door, I don't know.
Late at night, Vossi, just ignore any noise. That's what I'd be saying. Hey, great to speak to you. Good luck with everything tonight and the rest of the year.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Vossi. Well done, Vossi. One or two, man. I've never seen a man go wider.
Well, he should have been nervous then.
That's two guests that the Chewer has wound up to give the wolf a clip.
And he did too.
Or maybe snorkel.
And they haven't held back.
With all the greatest respect to Blake Carosella, because he deserves it, he's just been dealing with football royalty there in Michael Voss.
Yes.
And he tried to lower his voice, and he couldn't maintain that. It went back up again mid-question.
Well, and we should say that we did, Voss, he is respectful of everyone. We set him up for Chewer to see how he handled the pressure. Chewer, how'd you handle it?
I thought I handled it very well.
You said that
Gary,
last time.
No, I've just got to go to the toilet as soon as we
did he give you a bit? Did he give you the stare?
He did. I didn't know whether he was serious or not, Gary. I got to admit, I was looking at question number 5 to try and get my way through the interview. But how did I go anyway? What do you reckon?
No good, Chuck. Hey, Walker, did Jim just call Blake Carosella a lightweight?
No, I didn't. I said by way of comparison,
light.
That's what weight. I said.
Why
Chief,
would Michael Voss want to wait to get back into senior coaching?
Family-wise, I think that's what he said. Yeah.
You reckon if a senior job was offered to him, that's hypothetically. I don't know anything.
I only think because of what happened last time and the fact that he felt like he maybe got burnt by going in a bit quick. I think he'd probably rather err on the side of caution this time.
That's different to family, though.
He's also only got probably one more crack at it, Gaz, I reckon. And
I can't hear you, Snorkel. You're talking, you're mouthing words at me. Okay, but what I'm saying is, if it is family, that is fine. But what you're saying...
Maybe it's two-part. You want to see your kids through school. You've made the big decision to come over. I'll give myself 3 or 4 years to absolutely get my footy formula right, how I'm going to go about it next time. I could see how that would make sense.
I'm not begrudging it. It was just whether or not he needed another 2 years of just in his own mind, working out his coaching philosophies and how he would react to different situations, perhaps a bit differently. And under Ken, it seems to be very well, you know, organised and put together. And
if you're in the market for a senior coach, though, Gaz, sorry to interrupt, you would have to be thinking about tapping him on the shoulder, given the person you... And you look at what happened, maybe made a bad decision or two with recruiting and maybe got that wrong. But aside from that, even on the outside looking in, it was all starting to line up. And so that is a person of the highest quality.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because, have we got to go to a break?
No.
It's really interesting because he's had a period of coaching that was deemed... Well, I suppose unsuccessful, would you say?
When it's all said and done, it was deemed to be that. But there were patches in it. Yeah. Yeah. Even the last season, when it was known he wasn't going to be that,
so
they nearly made the finals.
How long did he coach? 4 years?
Five, I think it was.
There's a man who I think everyone in the football world said that he's got all the qualities of a coach, this bloke, yeah, for whatever reason. So all that's happened for that man, who was so revered, is that he's had 5 years of experience in the job.
Mm.
So surely that man then becomes, you know, all the qualities of what we thought would be a senior coach with 5 years of under his belt. Surely that then makes him an even better candidate, doesn't it?
I would guess think so.
Rather than going the other way where we all go, oh, no, he's out of go, he's no good, can't do it.
We all know him, and he's better off talking about this than any of us, but he does regret not doing what he initially set out to do, and that was take an assistant role at West Coast.
Sure, sure.
And look, we know the circumstances to that. Lee Matthews decided to move on, and then Tony Kelly, the chairman of the Brisbane Lions, went straight to him. And within 15 minutes of Lee Matthews saying he's out, Malcolm Voss was coach of Brisbane.
I'm just sort of
retracing the steps. So he took the job, and I think right now he wants to look at football from a coaching perspective as an assistant before he goes back into it, and I get what he's doing.
Gaz, let me play devil's advocate. I'm a Vossie fan. Mm-hmm. I love him as a bloke. I loved him as a player.
But
and I think he's...
You got a butt coming?
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm playing devil's advocate. How do we know he's a good coach? Just because he's had the experience, how do we know he's a good coach?
Well, how do you ever know until you put someone in this hot seat? I don't know, but I'm explaining myself. I'm just saying you've got this guy who's got all those qualities that you'd think are going to make a good coach.
I think he's had the perfect experience because he should be able to learn from what went wrong at Brisbane.
Correct.
But deep down, are we convinced that he's the right man that can lead a club?
No, I wouldn't. That's not exclusive to him.
Correct.
I'm not convinced Blake Carosella can be. I'm not convinced anyone can be until they actually do it. So all I'm saying, you hedge your bet as best you can. And for the qualities that we love about him as a man, which we all thought were going to hold him in good stead as a coach, plus 5 years of, you know, albeit too soon in his own mind, but 5 years under his belt, I would have thought he's a more enhanced candidate.
And Chief, I think that's the mitigating circumstances, is that he planned to do it apprenticeship style, and then he got this once in a lifetime chance to coach the club that he's the number one player, and he just I've got to do it. I think that's the regret for him. I think that left him maybe a little bit short first time round, but I would like to back in second time round. He ends up doing that job really well.
I've got to stand up, Gary.
Why?
I lost a couple of my stitches on one side of the old bag.
How?
They eased out.
How?
I was lying in bed. Well, and they tell you when you've had a vasectomy that for a week you've got to wear jocks
in bed.
They say you've got to wear jocks in the bed,
come
Gary.
On, Jim.
So I had them on. I did the right thing. I had the jocks on.
Oh, do I need to hear
fast
this,
asleep.
Or
well, Gary, there's nothing untoward. I'm just telling you.
Oh, I'm getting a bit nervous.
I suddenly woke up at 2:15. I thought that's a bit tight, a bit stingier than usual.
Come on, Jim.
I've had a look down there. And Gary, a couple of the stitches, like a whole thing of stitches just popped out. And it was attached to the inside of my jocks.
For God's sake, leave it alone,
Jim.
So I've
got to stand up.
Kids in the car.
I might have to actually stand up and call the game.
Thanks, Jim.
That's how
sure
much.
We needed to know that, Jim.
We didn't need to know that.
Gary. Why did he start talking about that?
Because that's why I'm standing, but it's what I bring, is this ability, no matter what happens, hit a golf ball into my own head and call the footy. I've just got this ability, Gary, to push through no matter what the physical restraints I'm facing.
You're courageous, Jim.
A little bit too much detail, Jim.
I tell you what, we are as hungry, so if you can actually organise something to eat, that would be a good result.
I already have done that.
Well,
I can't do it twice in the one day.
If you're courageous, you'll be able to back up.
That's Duke's domain. This is his ground in the footy season. Duke, can you get us some food?
We should be able to do something,
Anyway,
sandwich.
I'll just wait and see when you all have a vasectomy and see if you're as strong in the face of it as I am. Charlie Dixon, please, Purple.
Charlie Dixon, out of contract back in the Gold Coast Suns team this week, but unknown in terms of the future. You went up into Gold Coast.
You did. You were there yesterday. This week, so don't sugarcoat it.
No, yes. I'm not sugarcoating. I'm just saying it's unknown. Malcolm Blight, who's the overseer of all matters of this type at the Suns.
You've been starstruck when you saw Malcolm Blight, given he was your hero.
We're pretty tight, Malcolm, when you were a young kid. Not as much as Keith Greig was, if you want
but
to
But he was a hero.
He was a hero, yes.
And so when you interviewed him, did you ask the hard questions or were you a bit starstruck?
No, I don't think that's an issue with the way I ask questions, Gary, but let's get back to Charlie Dixon.
Hello? Wasn't that a very... Is it Malcolm or... Do you go with Malcolm or Mr.
Blight or Blighty? What do you go with?
Malcolm, just as we always do when it's official. So
very cordial.
Chew-like.
It was. He slapped me down chew-like.
No, look, they don't know. That's the issue with them. They know that the Brisbane Lions are making a massive play. They know there's other clubs involved. Fremantle seems to have gone a little bit cold on it. Whether that means they're out of it, I don't know. But that's their take on it. They know that there's serious interest in him. They know that the money that's going to be offered to him is going to be more than what they're going to offer him. And they also know, too, that historically he has not been able to string more than 12, 13 games per season in his career to this point. The Lions are the ones that are making the big play.
There'll be plenty of others.
Just for a fresh start. Just for a fresh start.
He hasn't been there for 5 minutes.
He was the first player they signed. He's
first. He's 24 now.
Goal kicker of the club's history.
He's a good player. Hey? Do you, Chief, you rate him?
Well, I do, but I kind of think maybe in a different environment he might have more continuity in his football. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's what it takes for a player that's had, you know, injury after injury and interrupted run to actually get some continuity in their game. And mate, call it luck, sometimes there's no rhyme or reason, but it takes a second chance at another club before they actually get their body right and their head right.
Did you just get a mate out of Chief? Did you just mate me?
Well, I don't know, but Jim will never get one.
I don't know whether he deserved to be mated there, Chief. It was just a sort of cordial
conversation. Did he mate me?
He did. He mated you. You quite didn't hear that.
We're tight in the back row.
That's normally when Chief gets confronted and doesn't want to
Well, there was no confrontation.
It was an off-handed mating.
Duke.
He's in strange form.
Yeah, Carlisle is there and Charlie Dixon's there and you're aside in the market. Who are you taking?
I'd be going for Jake Carlisle.
Depends what you want.
I think I'd pay.
See, I'd be recruiting Carlisle as a defender, not as a forward. So I think they're different beasts, Duke. What do you think?
I was about to say the same thing, Chief. I think Carlisle wants to go back. I mean, you take on face value, but I think he was potentially an All-Australian defender. I'm not sure he's a great forward. And I'm not 100% convinced about Charlie Dixon. I still wouldn't be throwing huge money at that man just yet. I think he hasn't shown enough. There'd be others at the Gold Coast I'd be chasing a lot more closely than with Charlie Dixon.
Such as?
I'd have a go at Day before I'd have go at Charlie Dixon. I think there's more upside there with Day. I think Lynch is someone I don't think you'll be able to prize him out. Lynch is a very good player.
You won't get him out.
You probably won't, no. But in terms of, you know, this big
and
offering big money at Charlie Dixon, I'm not convinced yet from what I've seen at the Gold Coast that he's going to be a great player.
Big blokes, right place, right time, can just fleece the money, can't they?
Well, I'll give you another name. The only name that rhymes with orange. Is Daniel Gorringe, and people say, well, he's shown nothing. Well, that's what ruckmen generally do. Mm. Show not much for a while, and then if they've got ability, they come on. So, I mean, he's been up there forever, Dan Gorringe.
Yeah, he has, and he's been talked about and shopped around in the past couple of years. In the end, the Gold Coast have decided to keep him, but I would think this trade period is the time he gets out, yes. Mm. Another big man, Jim Brody Grundy, Collingwood today at training, just in a warm-up drill, managed to get a very nasty knock onto his head, and a CT scan has cleared him of any serious issue, but there will be MRI scans, and he's been listed to play, according to Neil Baum, tonight, against GWS on Sunday. But it would be highly unlikely, given that a training incident on Friday sees him end up in hospital before this game.
They need him.
I would think...
Was there a concussion involved or not?
Well... probably not. They're saying not. His neck was in a brace. It was a warm up incident. He was taken to hospital as a precaution.
He was in hospital for a while.
CT scans have cleared him of any issue, but I couldn't see in 2015 when the AFL's finally caught up with the seriousness of any sort of head knock or neck knock. I could not see one scenario where he plays against.
Damn, I was at a Collingwood function today. That's why I was late over and with all of Gary Pert and all of the Collingwood officials, and they hit him in the head. He felt okay, but he said, I thought I heard something crunch. I thought he heard a noise, and that was why they did the precautionary thing and went in an ambulance. He thought he was pain-free and was going, and they were saying off the record and on the record, there's every chance that they think there's no concussion. Well, it was fairly innocuous, but they just under precaution because of the fact that he felt like he heard something click.
That makes sense.
Scanned it.
I mean, you wouldn't be playing. I mean, let's come on. That information, if you're there today, I can buy into.
Yep.
If there's any hint of a concussion, he won't play. There's no question about that.
I mean, the fact he's had a CT scan would suggest that they wanted to clear that off as well.
Yeah, but you're not scanning for concussion. You're scanning for possible fracture. Yep. That's what Duke's saying.
Mind you, Wolf, only a big bloke could think that he heard something.
I'll be sure.
Throw the entire club into scare mongering. Come on.
It's interesting you mention that, Gary, because we've had lots of people flooded in straight away, convinced they heard it, mate.
Can I have a replay?
Well, let's have a listen.
To actually get some continuity in their game and mate, call it luck. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason.
That's a cold, unwarranted,
that's a
mate.
Low blow.
We're tight
that's
in the back
a
row.
Low blow,
just
chief.
Mated you out of nowhere.
You forgot where you were then.
Out of nowhere, you got mated.
I thought I was talking to a jipper, sorry.
The worst thing about it, it wasn't in context.
No.
There was no reason for a mate.
It wasn't warm.
It wasn't if I was having a go and you said, now listen, mate.
That's it. It's where they normally come from.
Well, they're the best ones that just come from anywhere.
What a random mate.
Yep, just correct.
It was an out of nowhere
didn't
mate.
Even roll off the
arrogance just oozing out of the chief. He'll champ you soon.
I'm going to let him off this one.
I reckon
I'm going to let him off on this one.
Oh, you're generous.
He's had a big day.
He deserves to be let off.
Come on, Duke. Do something.
Strange form tonight,
chief. Find me a big bloke that's not Dobie.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks football.